Once again, police have shot African-American men to death. In Baton Rouge, on Tuesday, Alton Sterling was killed. And then last night near Minneapolis, a man named Philando Castile was shot in a car by an officer. Right after that shooting, as Castile lay bleeding and the officer was still pointing the gun, Castile's girlfriend live-streamed her phone video to Facebook, where many, many people watched. We're going to play some of that now, so you may want to turn your radio down if you don't want to hear this audio.
He just shot his arm off. We got pulled over on Larpiner.
I told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand off
it. You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license. Oh, my God. Please don't tell me he's dead. Please don't tell me my boyfriend just went like that.
Keep your hands where they are, please.
Yes, I will, sir. I'll keep my hands where they are. Please don't tell me this, Lord. Please, Jesus, don't tell me that he's gone. Please don't tell me that he's gone. Please, officer, don't tell me that you just did this to him. You shot 4 bullets into him, sir. He was just getting his license and registration, sir.
We have not heard that officer's side of the story yet. Castile's girlfriend, by the way, described the officer as Asian American. Minnesota's governor says he's pressing for a federal investigation. Meanwhile, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Alton Sterling was shot and killed Tuesday by 2 white police officers. Cell phone video of that shooting has sparked anger and protests. A member of an anti-violence group says one of his group members recorded that video. Arthur Reed says he understands the public anger.
We want it to be a peaceful resolve here, and that's not saying that anyone's afraid to rock the boat. If the boat needs rocking, we will rock the damn boat. But at the end of the day, we would like a peaceful solution, and we would like to see justice take place here.
Alton Sterling's aunt is named Sandra Augustus. She says she's angry, but she doesn't want to see violent protests.
I'm not angry enough to go in the street. I'm not angry enough to curse the police out. But I'm angry and I'm mad because they took something from me that I'll never ever get back. So y'all pray for me. But we gotta have peace and unity out here.
Louisiana's governor will be at a vigil for Alton Sterling tonight in Baton Rouge. What does it take to make these police shootings of black men stop? Connie Rice has been thinking about that question. For decades, she worked against and then with the Los Angeles Police Department to change the culture of policing. She asked police to stop being warriors and start being guardians. I asked her, what's the difference?
The difference between warrior policing and guardian policing is 180 degrees. Guardian policing is about problem solving, building trust, safekeeping children, making sure a community is healthy, and by making sure the community is healthy, you reduce crime. So it's a crime-fighting strategy that mixes sociology, good police tactics, and a bonding between the police and the community. Warrior policing is the exact opposite. You have extraction, violent-based policing that targets arrests as the gold standard. You want to take as many people out of the community, you destroy the fabric of the community, and you get rewarded for being aggressive within the rules, and you get rewarded by being put into SWAT and air support and other kinds of specialized units. But your basic mode of reward is because you are aggressive against the population and you make a lot of arrests.
Now, these could be deep and systemic changes, but we unfortunately have 2 fresh examples of what happens at the actual barrel of the gun. We have these 2 fatal shootings of African-American men this week with African-American men with guns. How does a warrior officer respond in a case like that versus a guardian officer?
I find that warrior cops are much more Pavlovian in their responses, and because that's because they've been trained that if they see a gun, they are in their rights to shoot. Our position with the Community Safety Partnership Policing, which is the guardian policing unit that I helped create with LAPD's Chief Beck, guardian cops are the opposite. They assume that a gunshot is the absolute last resort. And they will not do it unless their lives or someone else's life is in immediate danger. If you've got somebody on the ground and their hands are not in their pockets and you're standing on top of them like they were with Mr. Sterling, there's no reason to shoot. He's already subdued. And you saw that with, you know, how do you look, go to a playground and see a kid running around, Tamir Rice, and shoot him? Because he's got a play gun. How many kids have play guns? So the bottom line
but
is
you, you know, you know, Connie, that in that moment you might not know that's a play gun. You might not be so sure that man on the ground is subdued.
Well, it's a, you're right. It's a fact. It's a situation by situation factual analysis. But when you look at the videos, it's very hard for the public to see what the danger was. There has to be an immediate danger. And if you talk to cops about these videos, it's been about 12 to 15 videos now that the country has seen. It has completely turned the politics, because it used to just be the black community that said, you know what, we get shot in situations that don't make any sense. Our black men are shot all the time in the street, and nobody pays any attention. Now people are paying attention because it got caught on video. Without the cell phone videos, this would still be going on, and it would just be civil rights lawyers like me bringing wrongful death suits against police departments.
Well, Washington's...
We now have a political movement that is saying, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. But it's both wrong for the community, which suffers these unnecessary deaths, and it's wrong for the police, because the police don't feel good about this either. And I know that's hard for the community to hear, but my job, and every day that I'm at work, I'm with cops. I went on the inside a long time ago to figure out, how do you transform these people?
Well,
how do you stop them from this reaction to poor communities?
Well, Washington State is a place trying to make that kind of change you've described, from a warrior culture to a guardian culture. Based on your experience with the Los Angeles Police Department, what does it take to make that difficult change?
Great question. Number one, you have to have a police chief whose hair is on fire for complete transformation. Not just tinkering at the edges, not just, you know, paring down a few policies, and not a bunch of speeches. You have to have a police chief for whom cultural transformation and complete radical reformation of policing culture from predatory occupation style, military style, warrior policing, 180 degrees over to guardian policing, police that protect poor children instead of arresting them. So what does that take? It takes a police chief who is whose hair is on fire for this kind of cultural transformation. Number two, they have to promote all of the real change agents. They have to know who the change agents are inside that department. And you have to replace all of the old guard, people who are in supervision positions, with the new guard, with the new cops who think about building relationships with communities, who think about building trust with communities. They want trust policing. They want partnership policing. They don't want warrior policing. So once those cops are in all of the positions of power inside of a police culture, then you're set, because then you can start replacing all of the old guard with the newly trained cops. And the training is the third piece of this, which is revolutionary. You are training cops to be in the trust business, not the arrest business. That is 180 degrees. You are turning policing inside out. As one cop said to me, "Lady, I'm not here to be a social worker." And Chief Beck turned to him and said, "Well, then give me your badge and your gun, because this relationship-based policing is going to save cops' lives, but more importantly, it's going to save community members' lives, and we're doing it. If you don't want to become a social worker, then give me your badge and your gun." I used to sue Chief Beck, and I used to sue Captain Tingerides every day I could. I had them on the stand in federal court every chance I had, because I was at war with LAPD. Well, you know what? We had to stop fighting each other, and we had to look at each other and say, okay, how do we keep cops safer, and how do we keep the community safer without killing people?
And how long does that kind of change take?
Well, we're in the sixth year with CSP. We now have 6 years of data that show no one has been shot by CSP cops. CSP cops have the biggest drops in crime of any unit in LAPD. CSP cops are revered by the public housing populations they serve. It's really quite amazing. I did not expect this level of success. So I would say it takes about 5 years, because we're now in the sixth year, and for the last 2 years, when these cops walk into the gymnasiums of these housing projects, they get standing ovations.
So what do you say to somebody, so 5 years maybe, what do you say to somebody out there today, marching, crying, in the streets.
Well, you know what? You know, the other piece of this that I did not mention, and it's bad of me not to have, because it's equally important to getting the change, getting a new chief, getting the new culture put in place. Equally important, the fourth part of this, and perhaps the most important part of this, is that the community also has to change. That was the hardest thing for me to do, was to ask grandmothers in Jordan Downs Housing Project, could you please work with the cops who killed your grandchildren? In these communities, the police have killed almost a child per gang family. And so when you're asking the community to reach across the table and shake the hand of the force that murdered their children, do you know how hard that is? But this community in Watts, the grandmothers, cussed me out when I made this proposition to them, as they should have. And then they called me back in 3 days and they said, we're going to do it for the kids that are still alive. And because those grandmothers in both the Latina community and in the black female community, because they said the community is going to do this, we're going to try this, we're going to work with these cops, we're not going to hate the police, we're going to give it our all, because the community decided to work with LAPD despite the very ugly history in Watts, it worked. So it takes those four big pieces, a lot of smaller pieces we don't have time to go into, but if people are wondering, is there a solution to this? The answer is absolutely yes. It's the community safety partnership policing. It's transforming the culture of policing from warrior, militaristic, mean policing to guardian policing that loves the community.
Connie Rice, co-director of the Advancement Project, member of the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing. Very good to talk with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.